Welcome to Voices of Blessed Sacrament. Each week we break open God's Word and share stories of faith and family, all to help one another recognize and experience the presence of God.
Fourth Sunday of Lent. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." For generations, my family has suffered from a hereditary eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa. It causes gradual blindness, affecting a person's night vision and peripheral vision in their late teens or 20s, and shrinking their visual field to a tiny pinpoint by their 50s. It's a dominant gene passed down to exactly half of each affected family member's children. I remember learning about Punnett squares in middle school biology, and scientifically working out who in my family was likely to carry the disease, a biology lesson that had an immediate real-world application in my life. Since my dad was in the unaffected half of his siblings, I knew I couldn't be a carrier. Growing up around blind people, my cousins and I learned early how important it was to keep the environment safe. We would never dream of leaving a cabinet door open where someone could walk into it, or leaving a plate on the edge of a counter where someone's trailing fingers could knock it off. We learned how to guide a blind person with their hand on our elbow, and how to call out when stairs or other obstacles were in the path. We learned about the ingenious tricks our grandpa used in organizing his life. He kept the money in his wallet straight by using only tens and ones and folding them each in a different way. He kept his socks matched by safety pinning the pairs together before putting them in the laundry. He organized the cans in the pantry by placing rubber bands around them in different combinations and positions. His systems didn't always work perfectly, though. We once enjoyed a pot of chili made with canned green beans instead of kidney beans when one of his rubber bands snapped. When I read about the man born blind in today's gospel, I think about my family's experiences with blindness. In the environment they trust, with the people they trust, it's sometimes hard to tell who's blind and who's not. My husband first met my great uncle Bob at a family reunion on the farm where Bob had spent most of his life. After lunch under the big tree in front of the main house where Bob's daughter lived, Bob offered to show my husband his workshop. He took off straight across an open field toward his own house, without any assistance, and without a falter or shuffle in his step. Uncle Bob had complete trust in his environment, and my husband genuinely didn't know he was blind until much later in the afternoon. Out in the world, though, some of my family have had a different experience, especially in the older generations. My grandpa was reluctant to eat at restaurants because he was once told that no one wanted to see people like him. I think maybe he could empathize with a man born blind in today's gospel, whose blindness, according to popular wisdom, was caused by someone's sin, either his parents or his own. I'd like to imagine Jesus rolling his eyes at their ignorance and then drawing a Punnett square in the sand to show them how genetics work before curing the man's blindness. Have you ever noticed all the different ways Jesus cures people? Sometimes with a touch, sometimes with a word, sometimes with just a thought or an intention. And sometimes, Jesus cures people with something that seems completely strange, like smearing mud made with his saliva on a blind man's eyes and sending him to the pool to wash. No matter how he heals them, though, it's all about trust on their part. When Jesus smears mud on his eyes and tells him to go wash, the blind man doesn't hesitate. The gospel says, "So he went and washed and came back able to see." My dad's cousin and her husband have won dance competitions, despite the fact that she can't see a thing. Joyce fully trusts that Kenny will lead, spin, and twirl her safely, and that his hand will be where it's supposed to be to pull her back in. Don't ever tell Kenny I'm comparing him to Jesus, but I think that's what Jesus does for us. He keeps reaching out his hand, ready to pull us back in if we only trust that his hand is right where it's supposed to be. We don't need to see, just close our eyes and trust in him.
Let's go into this week ready to recognize and experience the presence of God, and to help others do the same.